Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And a very good Thursday evening, December 4th. We are live from Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River, the season finale of the Investors Bank High School Football Show. We've been here each and every Thursday since early September. Tonight we wrap it up. We know it's late in the season because the Christmas tree and the decorations are all inside the Water Street Grill. Place looking great, and we're delighted to be here at a not a usual time for us, a one-hour special show tonight from 6 to 7, because following us, immediately following us, it'll be Monmouth University basketball here on the Shore Sports Network as the Hawks make their MAC season debut at Marist in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kevin Williams, along with Ed Sarluka, our broadcasting colleague Matt Harmon, has the evening off. We can't even kid him about this one. Matt had shoulder surgery earlier in the week, and he is recuperating, but will be joining us Saturday at Rutgers University when we broadcast the Jackson-Middletown South sectional championship game. And tonight's theme, Ed, really is taking a look at what is championship weekend across the state of New Jersey.
Yes, six games, one of them involving two local teams in the Shore, the one that we will broadcast, Middletown South and Jackson. They begin Friday night up at Kane University, and they end at MetLife Stadium, or better known as Giant Stadium, with RBC looking to see if they could get that elusive state title.
Yeah, haven't won one since 1976, first trip to the finals since 1980. And what we'll do tonight, for the most part, is there are seven Shore Conference teams playing this weekend. There's no way we could have gotten seven coaches on. It's pretty much impossible. Everyone joins us on the phone tonight as we are, Ed and I, solo here along with our main man Tom Tremblay at the Water Street Grill. And, of course, Harrison Stevens back at the studio of the Shore Sports Network. But we've picked a couple of the coaches for different reasons. Haven't had them on in a while or whatever it might be. So tonight we will chat with Jim Portello, the Red Bank Catholic coach. I think really one of the storylines all year has been, can RBC get that championship? Brian Batchelor, the second-year Rumson coach, who's looking to make it back-to-back state championships. Not a bad way to start the career. And in just a couple of minutes, we'll chat with Walt Kristopic, the Jackson Memorial coach, who's going for his first championship. That'll be the fourth for Jackson, right? 2000, 2001, and then 2005 under Mike Smith, who's now the defensive coordinator at Jackson. But in an interesting scenario, Jackson is also playing for the mythical Shore Conference Championship. There is no such thing, but they would be ranked number one in all of the major polls, including the Shore Sports Network top 10.
Yeah, win, and they will remain number one. There's no doubt about it, even if RBC does happen to win their game on Sunday night. But, you know, when you look at these games, Kevin, each one in its own has an individual story. You know, you've got Mattawan tomorrow night at Kane, a five seed. No, I don't think anybody really expected Mattawan to beat playing for a championship, and of course a long history of state championships for them. Then you've got Manalapan playing probably one of the better public schools in the state, South Brunswick. Manalapan, the fourth straight year they have been in the finals. Then of course the big one for us, the game will broadcast, Jackson Middletown South. So much on the line there. Jackson on a complete roll the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Can they get it done? Then you've got Shore Regional, another team that has multiple championship. Five shutouts of the last six games, so they are rolling. Then you've got Rumson looking for back-to-back titles, and then, of course, RBC looking for that elusive state title, having defeated St. Joe Montvale in the semis. Now they get Del Barton in the finals.
Before we go into our first guest, anything significant about the Thanksgiving weekend games that stood out for you? 10 games, Of course, you broadcast the Wall-Manasquan game along with Matt, which we do every year. Interesting game, close, hard-fought game, could have gone either way. But in terms of the weekend itself.
Well, I did attend the Shore Regional Rumson game on Wednesday night. And if our listeners remember what the weather was like Wednesday night, it was torrential rain, and it was like that in West Long Branch. I'm still not completely dried from that one. And believe me, I was well protected in the elements. But Shore, Rumson, two top 10 teams. Shore wins it 13-0. Completely dominated that football game in the torrential rain, protected the football and won it. And then, of course, Wall, a nice stepping stone win for Wall. I wrote about it in my blog this week. Three wins for Wall, three wins for Manasquan, two under 500 programs, but a good Turkey Day game, and we enjoy doing that one. And no matter what, the records are packed house. 10 deep around the fence at Manasquan that morning.
Well, a team that did not have to worry about playing Thanksgiving weekend, but rather preparing for their next game, the Jaguars of Jackson, number one on the Shore Sports Network top 10 and the only all-shore finale this weekend on Saturday night at Rutgers at 7 o'clock. We'll play Middletown South, a game we will broadcast on the Shore Sports Network. The Jaguars coach is Walt Kristopik, who's good enough to give us a few minutes as he gets ready for this big one. And, Coach, I guess the first thing I'm going to start with you is, what was it like for you to have that Thanksgiving week off? Did you change the routine? Did you give the players any time off to kind of rest and heal and get ready for this big one on Saturday night?
Yeah, it was nice to have the extra week to prepare for the final game. Kids were able to rest their legs a little bit, come back a little bit fresh. But, you know, at this point in the preparation, you know, the kids are done with trying to hit each other in practice. You know, they're really looking forward to getting out Saturday and playing against Middletown South.
Well, you know, Middletown South, a traditionally rich program. They've been down the last couple of years, and by down I mean 5-5 records, you know, if you could call that down. But they've got 9 championships under their belt, so them and you are used to winning these championships. They've got an outstanding back in Cole Rogers, who has stepped up. He's only a sophomore. He's run for 1,700 yards and 26 touchdowns. How do we approach the Eagles of Middletown South?
I think definitely they, you know, they have a very big offensive line. The 2 tackles are enormous. They try and come off the ball and just try and push you around. And, you know, it's pretty much the same thing with the way we approach it. We try and split it up with 2 backs. And, you know, the way they do it is excellent up front.
Walt, I'm wondering again, I'm going to go back to the preparation. And I know you've been a part of the program. But the circumstances on Saturday will be a bit different in terms of you're playing a 7 o'clock game, not unusual, but obviously you'll have to travel a bit. Time on the field, I guess you'll warm up not on the field,
in the bubble
and all that. Does that kind of change of your normal routine concern you in any way? And have you kind of worked on making sure the players are prepared for that?
Yes, and we've addressed it in our practices, you know, talked about the different locations and the routine that we're going to have to go through. I mean, we're trying to keep it as the same routine as much as possible to a normal game week.
Walt, you have had several players really step up this year. I'm going to mention a couple of them. Mr. Golick in the backfield, only a sophomore, and Vinny Lee in the backfield has really stepped up to add to your running game. And then, of course, your quarterback, Joe DeMeo, outstanding football player. He's had an outstanding year. Talk a little bit about those three.
Our 2 backs, you know, it was definitely a main concern for us coming into this year, trying to replace our backfield with losing Kenny Bradley and Kenai Glover. You know, both had outstanding freshman campaigns in college, and I think both of them more than stepped up to the challenge of trying to replace Kenai. As far as Joe's, you know, the leader of our team. He's our team captain. He gets it done on both sides of football. You know, he's going to cover the number one receiver on the other team, and he's going to lead us in offense, make sure we're in the right play at all times.
And, of course, one of the strengths of your team, Coach, has been your offensive line that has just been tremendous and impressed so many of us throughout the course of the season. They're going to have their hands full, though, against the Middletown South defense. That's a rugged and a good one, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they've given up, I think it's 94 points through 11 games. I mean, so they're definitely one of the top groups in the entire Shore Conference. I mean, Jeff Brown does a great job getting our guys prepared. We've been healthy all season, you know, knock on wood. And just having that kind of continuity, the same kids working next to each other, really helped us out.
you realize, Walt, and I know it probably doesn't mean anything to you, but I think it does to the players. You win, you remain as the number one team in the Shore. That's a big feather in the hat, you know, to take over the winter and into the summer and into 2015.
Suppose it's not something that really gets talked about. You know, our main focus is just Middletown South. The kids are really eager to get out on the field and try and prove ourselves. You know, you look forward to a challenge of playing great teams like Middletown South.
Coach, have you sensed can you tell it's championship week during your practice and preparation of the players in general? Is it a different feel than it would be, let's say, just back in a game in October?
Yeah, and, you know, as the year's gone on, the closer you get, the deeper you go in the season, you know, the intensity has picked up. The battle between our scout team and our varsity kids, you know, the line's getting closer and closer. The kids are groups, the two groups are pushing each other, making each other better.
Well, I'm sure, Coach, and it's an exciting time for not only the school but the community. I know a lot of people will be in black and red at Rutgers on Saturday night. Looking forward to seeing you up there, and hope you have a good one. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Coach Walt Kristopic. I think downplaying, I think that's Walt's nature, too.
Sure.
He's not one for a lot of fanfare, let's be honest. But got to be ecstatic. And, you know, I think you made a point only in this. If you win, and they're playing for the Central Jersey Group 4 Championship, they are winning a sectional with what, 10 or 12 or 13 teams, something like that. Am I in the ballpark?
Yep.
Okay. If you finish number one on the Shore?
43.
That's pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah,
you know?
So.
Just as we always say, if you make a first team All-Shore selection in anything, very impressive. Easier to make an All-State team in your section
Absolutely.
Than it is to make the All-Shore team. An elite group of athletes, and Jackson certainly has some. By the way, Kevin, Jackson has played some memorable games at Rutgers in the finals. We think back to one that we did on the field against Brick Memorial when
yes.
they won on the last play of the game on a scramble in the corner of the end zone. An unbelievable football game. So I look for a great football game between two outstanding programs.
One thing we didn't ask, maybe we should have touched on, is the weather, because they are talking for a lot of rain Saturday. It is a turf field.
No control over that, Tim.
No control over that. And both teams have to deal with it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with the coach of the Rumson Bulldogs, Brian Batchelor. He's looking to make it 2-for-2. How's that to start your coaching career? We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And a good Thursday evening again, everyone. Thanks for joining us on what is the season finale of the Investors Bank High School Football Show. We are live, as we always are, at Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River, decorated beautifully for the holidays. Got quite a few people in for dinner tonight, enjoying themselves, and we're enjoying talking high school football. Rumson fans have enjoyed what's taken place the last couple of years. Well, actually, it's been a very good run for the Bulldogs, but Brian Batchelor's in his second season as head coach. He won a state sectional championship in his first year, and he has had a chance to make it back-to-back. And he'll be playing Saturday night as well, not at Rutgers, but at Kane University, a 7 o'clock start, as Rumson takes on Delaware Valley for the Central Jersey Group 2 title. Coach is good enough to join us. Brian, how are you tonight?
Kevin, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good, and, you know, Ed touched on the fact that you obviously played Thanksgiving Eve in a virtual monsoon against Shore Regional, and I'll kind of throw the question out that always interests me, and that is, you know, if it was your choice, would you have preferred not to play Thanksgiving week and had a little more time to rest and prepare for this one, or you just accept that's the way it is and you're okay with it?
It is what it is. You know, if anything, we got an opportunity to play in the poor conditions. We got an opportunity to play against a very good football team. And, you know, if it rains a little bit or if it's a little windy on Saturday night, we'll be well prepared for it.
Brian, you've got some great football players on this team, as Kevin said, looking for back-to-back championships. But the one guy that everybody wants to know about, that's the number one running back, one of the top running backs in the Shore. That's Charlie Volker. He's struggled this year. I'm not going to say struggled, but he's had been hampered with some minor injuries all year. What's the health of Charlie going into tomorrow, Saturday night?
He's probably 85 to 90%. You're right. I mean, he's played one quarter all year that he was 100% healthy, and that was the first quarter against Mattawan. And he's only played 23 quarters all season. Still put up, you know, almost 1,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, and, you know, he almost 8 yards a carry. Charlie's, you know, certainly the heart of our football team.
Heading to Princeton University, and while he's been down and out a little bit with injuries, boy, you've really gotten a brilliant performance from your sophomore quarterback, Michael O'Connor, who has done everything you could possibly have asked and even more.
Couldn't say enough good things about Mikey. He, you know, we brought him up last year as a freshman. This is one of the reasons, you know, we certainly, the freshman coaches bragged about how good he was. And, you know, I watched the film, and he helped us win a state championship last year. He ran scout team quarterback. You know, just try to simulate with quick speed, and did a great job doing that. He's thrown for, you know, over 500 yards and 6 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. He's run for over 800 yards, almost 900, 11 touchdowns on the ground, 6 in the air. It also says so much about our offensive line. I can't say enough good things about, you know, what we've done offensively under Coach Bernays and under Coach Murphy, the offensive line coach. You know, we start 3 sophomores on offense, including Mikey, and, you know, the future is certainly bright at Rumson-Fairhaven.
Yeah, you'll miss the big guy in the backfield, but, you know, you've got other players. And like good teams do, they just reload and have that successful year. I believe last year at the end of the year, you know, we told you there's only one way to go, and that's down after you win a state championship in your first year as a head coach. Well, guess what? You're on the verge of winning back-to-back ones.
It's exciting. You know, Coach Fallon, you know, my predecessor and good friend, always taught me it's about we and not about me. And you know, this is our, you know, opportunity to win a third final in the last 5 years. And, you know, we've been very successful. And, you know, listen, Coach Cerace at Princeton's a good friend. And I'm really excited for Charlie and his career there. But, you know, the cupboard's certainly not there. And, you know, we're going to try to win our second straight, you know, on Saturday night.
You know, we just had Walt Kristopic on, and he's got to play Saturday night up at Rutgers. You've got to play Saturday at Kane. How about the thought of a neutral field? I mean, I think if you asked the 10 coaches in the finals, everybody would rather play at home. How about you?
You're going to think I'm crazy. I'd rather play at Kane. We're 2-0, you know, at Kane University, and, you know, 0-2 at Rutgers. But anyway, yeah, we're excited. We love the atmosphere at Kane. I think it's a great high school atmosphere. The facilities are fantastic. Great memories there, you know, beating 2 undefeated teams in the finals, you know, in 2010 and then 2013. And it's a special. It's good for the kids. I mean, we love playing home games, don't get me wrong, but there's something to be said about getting on a bus and, you know, an opportunity to be into a college locker room. And it's just really conducive to what we do.
All right, good for you. Now, let me ask you a little bit about your opponent, Delaware Valley. They come in at 7-3 on the season. What can you tell us about them? What problems do they present for you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're very well coached. Coach Colombo does a great job. You know, we actually kind of got lucky back in October. We lost the Vienna game in a heartbreaking fashion without Charlie. And, you know, we decided on a Friday night in October to get on the road, beginning of October, get on the road, and we traveled 2 hours and 15 minutes up to Del Valle to go see Del Valle and Roselle because, you know, we kind of thought that there was a chance we could meet one of them down the road. And, you know, we scouted that game. It was 22-20 at the half of explosive offenses. And, you know, they run that single wing. And, you know, listen, it's hard to simulate in practice, but our guys have done an unbelievable job. And some of our kids actually ran the single wing, you know, in Pop Warner. So the kids kind of liked, you know, being back in that offense. And we just got a great look all week by our scout team. And we're very well prepared. I mean, we played them in 2011. You know, the kind of job Coach Schulte and the defensive staff does. You know, we're always prepared for football games. And our kids are hungry. I mean, they're really excited to be, you know, have a chance. I mean, Del Valle's good up front. They get a lot of people to the point of attack. But, you know, if you've noticed over the last couple of weeks, we've gotten better and better on defense.
You certainly have, that's for sure. You know, I was going to mention that when you play at Kane, tremendous facilities up there, you know. I think if I was coaching one of these games, you know, I would rather play at Kane because it's going to be a packed house.
Right,
because
exactly.
They don't hold, you know, 50,000 people like High Point Solution Stadium at Rutgers that looks empty when you play a game there. plus the scoreboards, the what they've done with the replays and things like that. They have upgraded their program, even though it is one of the top state programs, Kane University. But, you know, it is a thrill to play a game there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Megatron that they have there, and getting, you know, a chance to look up at that scoreboard. And, yeah, you know, last year I think we had 3,000 people at the game. And,
right,
you know, it's special for the kids, like I said. It really yeah, is. I mean, there's something to be said about playing a semifinal at home against Cinnaminson, and it's your last home game, and you know that's the case. But kids like to go. I mean, we travel on long bus rides in the preseason to try to get the kids ready for this. And, you know, they've earned it, and I know they're excited to play in it.
Well, Brian, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. Wish you all the best on Saturday night, making a back-to-back state championships. The Rumson faithful, I know, will turn out in mass for that one on Saturday. So good luck, and thanks, as always, for chatting with us.
Guys, thank you. We really appreciate it.
All right, Brian Baxter, second-year coach, done a great job. And I also thought it was pretty classy. He mentioned Shane Fallon, his predecessor,
yes,
who had a great run at Rumson,
sure,
and really, you know, got that program in position. And Brian is just kind of, you know, picking up the pieces and going with it.
You know, Rumson, in a lot of ways, Kevin, reminds me of Manasquan, their program, and their town. You know,
yeah,
small town, you know, everybody attends the games. They've got turf up there. Can't say that about Manasquan yet.
That's for sure.
But they've got turf up there. They've got the solid bleachers, the concrete bleachers,
yeah,
back there. You know, I mean, they just,
it's
a good
atmosphere.
It's a great atmosphere.
I,
you know,
I
they
agree.
Got the stands buzzing with the hot dogs grilling in the background. Just a tremendous atmosphere.
There you go.
But hey, how about the fact that we finally got a coach to admit that he went out scouting for the state tournament in October? Now, he wouldn't tell us that if we asked him a week later, but he actually had the insight to see Roselle, who was the top seed, and Delaware Valley play, which was a tremendous, get to go see that
Absolutely.
Game. And finally, we get somebody to admit that, yeah, we were thinking about it down the road.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the guy who plays the last high school football game of the season, RBC coach Jim Portella. After this, you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Well, it's taken a few seasons, but Red Bank Catholic has opened the door. And on Sunday night at MetLife Stadium, they'll try and completely kick it open when they play Del Barton for the non-public Group 3 championship. The Casey shooting for their first title in some 38 years. Their coach is Jim Portella, and he's good enough to join us. And, Coach, I mean, this is what you worked all those hours for in the offseason and the summer, and here you are, and you'll actually play the final game of the football season Sunday night, 7 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. Must feel pretty good to have this opportunity.
Oh, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a great excitement in the school. There's a great excitement in the whole community amongst the alumni and, you know, all the family and friends. So it's really been a great couple of weeks practicing and preparing for the game, and we're looking forward to the thrill of playing Sunday night at MetLife.
You know, Jimmy, finally the monkey's off the back, and I'm talking about the monkey of St. Joe Montvale. So many losses, you know, finally dominated them a couple of weeks ago to get yourself into this situation. Let's go back and talk a little bit about that game. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, we never felt like we had any monkey on our back. We never felt any burden from previous teams or previous seasons. And, you know, we just know it's this season with this group of kids, and they work so hard. And, you know, they were really excited to play that game. It was a great atmosphere over at Count Basie that night. We had a great turnout from our community, and the kids just played a great second half. You know, we were fortunate to hang around early in the game because they really started to take it to us a little bit. But, you know, we had a great kickoff return by Dylan Murphy, and Eddie Hahn made some plays. And, you know, once we got to halftime and the kids kind of sensed that they had a great chance to pull the upset, they really played at a very high level, and we're hoping we can maintain that level of play, and I think we're going to need to against a very good Del Barton team.
You know, Coach, I doubt you'll admit this, but I'll ask you anyway. You had obviously had that Longshore Conference winning streak snapped a couple of weeks prior to that against Jackson. And there are some instances where a coach, especially after the fact, will say sometimes a loss is good for a team. So I'll ask you that question. Is there any way that that loss turned out to be a positive?
Well, I'm not going to say the loss turned out to be a positive because we could have gotten the same positive effects from winning that game. But unfortunately, we lost to a better team that night. But you know what was the positive? Was playing great teams like Jackson, like Manalapan, like Ocean, who won a playoff game, like Long Branch, our scrimmage schedule against Montclair and Elizabeth and Bergen Catholic, who are all top 15 teams. So all those teams, all those games added together, I think prepared us to play some of the tougher teams that we needed to in the playoffs.
Yeah, you have said that all season long. We've chatted with you a couple times, and you felt your schedule this year put you in this position better than any other year you've had in a bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our schedule, you know, including scrimmages, we probably played or scrimmaged six or seven top 15 teams, you know, when you include Del Barden at the end. So, yeah, absolutely. If iron sharpens iron and man sharpens man, we should be pretty sharp based on the quality of teams that we played.
Jimmy, this is a dynamic team that you've put together this year. Offensively, 45 points a game. Defensively, only giving up 8.5. That's just a little over a touchdown per game. What phase do you think is important? I know you'll probably say both phases, but what do you think has got to be at its best on Sunday night?
I think the line play, the defensive line play and the offensive line play. You know, defensively, they give you so many headaches with their offense, and they have such athletes. If you're not sharp up front, if you can't match their strength and their physical ability up front, you're going to have a long night. And, you know, when you turn things around, the same thing. They're very tough. They have great athletes in the back four, but their front seven are very physical and athletic, and we're going to need to hold up to that.
What about the dramatic change in routine? It's a Sunday night, and I'm sure you can adjust to the different night, and it's 7 o'clock, and that's not unusual, but you're going to play in a building that's going to probably have about 75,000 empty seats. It's a big, big
that's
building.
That's
probably
true.
So your routine will be obviously different from what it would normally be. How will you try and keep the guys as close to, you know, as normal?
Yeah, it is different. It's different because you have a shorter warm-up time, you know, because they machine gun the games. So it takes you out of your routine a little bit. But I'll tell you what was great was the state offered any team who was playing there that wanted to go up for a visit, and we went up there last Tuesday, I believe. We took a bus up. So the kids got to see the field and see the locker room and get over that awe a little bit. And I think the main thing is we're just gonna go up there, and you know what? I don't think there's much that could take us out that would distract us at this point. You know, we've been waiting for such a long time for this opportunity. We'd play this game on Route 35 if they told us to. We're ready to go play wherever it is, whenever it is.
Too much construction on 35. We'd have to move it to a park.
You name it. We're excited for this opportunity. We want to go play it. And I think we're going to be a focused group on Sunday night.
I would think so.
And obviously, especially for your seniors, this is their last chance to play together. This is the goal many of them have set for themselves since the day they walked into those doors at RBC. So obviously for them, such a feeling, such a special feeling to run out on that field for the last time, right?
Absolutely. To go out there one more time together. You know, we've been talking about this since the playoffs started, that, you know, we've been together for however long. We don't want the season to end. We had a chance to extend the season by 4 weeks. You know, if we could beat Bishop Eustis, we could extend it by a week. And if we could beat St. Joe's, we could extend it by another 2 weeks. And it's a great group of seniors, 27 kids, really, really tight-knit group. I'm going to miss the opportunity to coach them. I'm going to miss the opportunity, to be around them when the season's over. So we're just trying to enjoy the last couple of days that we have together.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Take it all in Sunday night, and most importantly, around 10 o'clock, win yourself a state championship. Coach, always a pleasure. We appreciate talking to you all season long, and all the best Sunday night to you and the Caseys.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
All right, Jimmy Portello, the RBC coach. Got to have a little feeling of this is the one we've got to get. You know, it's so hard to get that opportunity at that level, that non-public three level, to even get to that championship game. They haven't been there since 1980. They haven't won one since 1976. You don't know when it's coming again. Well, you'll want to seize the moment.
Well, personally, I think they get it done.
Yeah.
I think they finally get it done. You know, they've had so many great teams over the year. I think this is the senior class that gets it done and puts that trophy in the trophy case. And also, another personal note, I had the lucky situation to play at Giant Stadium twice. You know, and the fact that we went up to practice there during the week, they allowed us to practice just to get used to the field, because the crown at Giant Stadium is something that you'll never, ever experience again. You know, and it's exciting for these kids, you know. I think it's just so much more than, he's right, playing at Rutgers at Kane. MetLife would be where I'd want to go.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get our guy, Scott Stump. We'll sort of go around the gamut on these six state championship games this weekend, in which the Shore could emerge with six champions, as many
as possible.
Six champions. It is possible. And this is the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Fast-moving program tonight. We're in the home stretch already. 7 o'clock tonight when we get off. Monmouth University basketball right here as the Hawks open MAC play tonight on the road against Marist in Poughkeepsie, New York. Eddie Acapinti will have all the play-by-play for you shortly. But we wrap up with a guy who we wrap up with just about every week, and that is, of course, the main guy from our Shore Sports Network website and our Shore Sports Network review, Scott Stump, who joins us. Stumper, we roll around the games, and I'm going to just ask you to chime in on each one a little bit, and we'll do them in a semi-chronological order, and we'll start with the Friday night game at Kane University when Mattawan takes on Carteret, probably to many people a surprising championship game in itself.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Mattawan, I think people thought certainly had a shot to come out of that side of the bracket, although, you know, Ocean taking out Hopewell Valley, the top seed, helped pave the way for that. And then, you know, Carteret, I think a lot of us had Long Branch penciled in there. They had a great comeback win over Long Branch, 21-17, and you know, I think the interesting thing about Mattawan, they're a young team that has gotten better and better. I mean, this could be the first year of a multi-year run, given that the core of that team is juniors and their quarterback, George Pearson, as we know is excellent, is only a freshman. I was also trying to think, has any freshman starting quarterback in Shore Conference history ever led a team to a state title? I mean, you could be witnessing a little part of history there Friday night.
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Scott, you know, who's got the best shot?
I would say Shore Regional looks like a team
Let's talk about that game then next.
Right. I mean, they're the top seed. They're coming off a great win over Rumson, as you were there in the rain and the mud. I mean, their defense,
as you were.
Yes. Their defense has just been incredible all season long. I mean, I think it's whatever it is, 49 points or something like that, the Shore Conference low. I mean, one of the lowest totals in the state. I mean, it's just been really hard to score on them. I mean, South Hunterdon did have a nice win to beat Palmyra in the semis, but the way Shore has just controlled games with its running attack and then playing to its defense and field position with Jake Montero, a really good punter, I just feel like, and the disappointment of the last 2 years coming so close and losing in the finals, I feel like Shore is just really ready to finish the job. And even if it is raining on Saturday, they're clearly built to win games in that atmosphere.
By the way, that is Saturday, 10 a.m. at Kane University. The first of two games there involving Shore Conference teams. The other one is late at night. The night game, 7 o'clock. We talk with Brian Batchelor tonight. Rumson against Delaware Valley. And the consensus seems to be that the Bulldogs are the favorites here.
Well, Delaware Valley's never been to a state final in the history of their program until this year. So this is completely uncharted territory for them. Obviously, they're talented because that Roselle team was pretty good that they beat. I mean, they run the single wing, which I think predates Ed's coaching tenure. So it's an offense.
I do remember Matawan, and we did play against Matawan in the single wing. So it doesn't predate me.
But you know, it's an offense you just don't see a lot. I mean, it's assignment football. You know, you got to know your assignment. You have to read your keys because it's based on deception, and you know, and a couple guys kind of almost in a little scrum in the backfield. So. Both for both teams, it'll be all about stopping the run game. You know, Rumson hasn't really had that game yet this year where Charlie Volker and Mike O'Connor have been firing on all cylinders in the run game. Maybe they're saving the best for last. I mean, they're a team that really rises to the occasion. Jerry Schulte, their defensive coordinator, his game plans have been incredible in their state finals. Think about it. They held an explosive Week Way team to 6 points. Last year, when they lost to Matawan, it was 3-0, and then they shocked the Jared Allison Matawan team, holding them down. So they always seem to execute in this big spot.
The large group, Central Jersey Group 5, has Manalapan for the fourth straight year in the finals versus one of the better public schools in the state, South Brunswick, and their outstanding quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of a different situation. I feel like in past years, maybe we were kind of considering Manalapan the favorite, whereas this year, they're clearly the underdog. I mean, South Brunswick, you know, has beat Middletown South earlier this year. The Piscataway, I mean, they're undefeated. The two big keys for Manalapan are going to be their quarterback play, which has been kind of, you know, up and down in these state finals. You know, Dan Anarella struggled last year. If he can make some throws in this game, that really changes things. Clearly, they want to run the ball better than they did in the past couple finals. And the other big thing is you just can't let the other team's star have that monster game. Last year, it was Jason Cabinda from Hunterdon Central, now at Penn State, who just had a huge game. The year before that, you know, it was DeRay Ford, the big fullback, and Dante Strickland as a sophomore for South Brunswick. And then the other one, it was DeLon Stevenson, now at Rutgers, for Sayreville. Yep. So you have to find a way to slow down Dante Strickland. I mean, he's going to Syracuse. One of the most explosive players in the state at running back, and you know, he's one of the fastest players. But the best way to frustrate him is to sit on the ball, run the ball effectively, keep that offense off the field. But you got to try and limit the damage done by Strickland.
That is the Saturday morning game at 10 a.m. at Rutgers. And then, of course, the Saturday night special is the one we'll broadcast. And I guess probably has the most interest because it's two shore teams, Jackson, Middletown South. Jackson playing for number one at the shore and a fourth state championship. Middletown South playing for a 10th state championship and first in a long time. And, hey, who knows, possible number one spot in the shore depending on things. What do you think about this one?
I think this game is going to be tremendous just because Jackson Memorial's offense has just been unconscious the last month, unstoppable pretty much by almost anybody. And meanwhile, they're running into a Middletown South defense, you know, that has been the backbone of that team that has six shutouts. So I think that matchup in itself is tremendous. I mean, you got some great linemen on both sides going at it. You know, 2,000-yard backs on Jackson, Golick and Lee, 1,000-yard back on Middletown South, Cole Rogers. It's Middletown South quietly trying to get the monkey off their back. I believe they're 0-4 in their last.
I was going
to
say this is their fifth. Right, four in a row they've lost, right?
Right, so they're looking for their first title since 06, so it's been a little while. And Jackson, not only playing for number one in the shore, depending on what happens in the Paramus Catholic St. Peter's prep game, they might be playing for possibly number one in the state, or at least number two. So right. I know the rankings don't mean everything to these guys, but that's a nice cherry on top if you can, you know, find a way to beat a team like Middletown South. But again, clearly I think the X factor is how will Middletown South's offense perform? You know, in their big games this year, they scored 24 points in a loss to South Brunswick, and they only scored 3 points in a loss to Manalapan. So, if this game gets into like a 28-21, 35-28 type of game, can Middletown South's offense keep producing against the Jackson defense? I mean, Jackson has been playing as good as any team I've seen in a while over this last month. So, you know, anything can happen, though, in the state finals, and this is still Middletown South, you know, a proud program that has had time to get ready for this thing. So, I'm looking forward to that game. I think it's going to be really good, and I guess we'll see if the rain might complicate things in that game, you know, remove certain parts of the game plan for either team.
Scott, in our prior interview before you came on, I asked Jimmy Portello about the monkey off his back with the win against St. Joe Montville. He denied that. He did not, you know, like that analogy. I personally think he did get that monkey off his back. You know, he faces a Del Barton team that also has had trouble in the finals. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Right. I mean, well, the big reason Del Barton's often has trouble in the finals is because they were playing St. Joe's
Montville,
who
RBC
just took out. So I think, you know, having seen Del Barton in person from when they played St. John Vianney in the semifinals, you know, they were pretty one-dimensional in that game, even though it was a good dimension with the run game. I mean, they lined up in the Wildcat a lot, really only threw on third down and long and play action type situations. So to me, if you're one-dimensional, that's, you know, that bodes well for RBC, because if they can just gear up to really just stop the run game, that puts them in a good spot. And you got to think, if RBC's offensive line can dominate St. Joe's Montvale to the point that they did, rushing for 330 yards, they're going to have a really good shot, because St. John Vianney moved the ball at will against Del Barton. They just made a lot of mistakes, but they had well over 300 yards of offense in that game. So I think RBC, if they play mistake-free and you know, really just execute their game plan, they should win that game, no doubt. I think that they're the better team. So it really comes down to just execution on the big stage. And I think they're just so hungry to finally finish the job, because talking to a lot of people, even from the St. Joe's game, they didn't celebrate that game like it was the Super Bowl. The average team that beat St. Joe Montvale by 30 points would be high-fiving and hugging each other for 4 days straight. But RBC was basically like, we're not done yet. This is a nice win and everything, but we're not even celebrating because we didn't win anything yet. We didn't get a ring. So I think Jim Portello has done a great job on keeping them focused on the end game, on getting to the finish line and bringing it home for the first time since, the year I was born.
Oh, thanks a lot for making us really feel old. You know, by the way, our picks, our Gold Coast Cadillac football picks are on our website, shoresportsnetwork.com. And us three, along with Matt Harmon and Bob Batters, we all picked, I believe, all the same games except one. I was the only one that picked Manalapan to upset South Brunswick. But you guys all seem to think it's going to be a great weekend for the Shore, right, Scott?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I feel like in all of those other games, you know, the Shore team's either the favorite against the non-conference team, or it's, you know, the Central Jersey Four game where there's two Shore teams. I mean, clearly anything can happen. I think Mattawan is probably the game where, because they're young and Carteret's coming off a great win in the semifinals, and they're also a proud program that's been there and finished it before, that's a little bit of a toss-up game. You know, I don't think that's any kind of slam dunk for Mattawan at all. But I really would be genuinely surprised if Rumson, Shore, and RBC didn't win.
The only thing I'll say about that, Scott, is that starting tomorrow, the weather will be a factor in five of the six games. I don't think it'll affect the RBC game. And you know what happens when it rains. Crazy things sometimes occur, turnovers, things like that. So I would hate to see the weather become a factor in somebody winning and losing, but it certainly is a possibility.
Yeah, it's always kind of frustrating. I mean, I know it's one of those things where, hey, you know, both teams are dealing with the conditions, but some teams are just made for it in the sense of, like a Shore Regional, they run the wing tee, they never throw the ball, and they stop the run. They're built to win in a pouring rain. But, like, a team like Manalapan, you maybe take some of their play-action game away. You know, RBC, you know, should be good wet weather-wise by the time their game gets around. So Eddie Hahn throwing downfield shouldn't be affected. But, you know, I remember the year where Brick Memorial, I felt, was a better team than East Brunswick, and then a complete blizzard started at College of New Jersey, and the ball was fumbling all over the place. They're trying to run the triple option where the ball is, like, the slipperiest thing in the world. So it ended up being like a 9-0 loss or something like that. So I think that's kind of frustrating when the weather does play too big of a role in deciding things.
ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Get Scott's look at the entire weekend. Next week, we'll have some special stuff on the website later in the week, including all of our all-shore teams, players of the year, coaches of the year, presented by Jersey Mike's. A little special show we're going to do on the site as well, so look for that. And, Scott, I know we'll see you at Rutgers on Saturday, so thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. See you this weekend. Should be fun.
There's our managing editor, Scott Stump, on ShoreSportsNetwork.com. We hit the home stretch here, Ed. Some thank yous as we wrap it up. Our host here at the Water Street Grill, who have just been tremendous all season long. The managers, the wait staff, who could not have been better. We've really enjoyed doing it. It's been a lot of fun on Thursday nights. So our special thanks to all them. This is a great place. Come down, check it out during the holiday season. Looks wonderful. Of course, Tom Tremblay here does the incredible job getting us on in each and every week, and makes it all sound good, even when we don't sound good, which is quite often. Harrison Stevens back at our studios of the Shore Sports Network. Of course, for our broadcasting colleagues, Matt Harmon. Who's not with us tonight, but hopefully we'll be feeling better.
Think he'll be critiquing us on Saturday? I'm sure he listened.
You know what? I'm hoping he took some pain pills and he didn't hear a thing.
Okay.
But that'll be it. Monmouth University basketball with Eddie Acapinti and the gang is coming up next. Hawks at Marist. And we hope to be back here next fall.
So hopefully.
Keep checking out ShoreSportsNetwork.com all season long. For Ed Sarluka, I'm Kevin Williams. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.